What's up, everybody? Max Whitman here, and welcome to episode 2 of the Book It Better podcast. In this episode, I'm joined via satellite by Cato, making his debut, and the superstar once again, and we sit down to discuss our Mount Rushmore of guys who never won a world title. We've got some great debate in here, Cato doesn't understand the rules, the professor didn't pay his internet bill, and the honky-tonk man begs the superstar to pay him for a picture, but in the end, I'm pretty sure we come up with a solid Mount Rushmore. So sit down, plug in those headphones, and join us for the next 40 minutes or so as we talk about some of the underappreciated, under-accoladed superstars in wrestling history. All right, welcome to our second episode of the Book It Better podcast. This is going to be our second round table. We're short the professor today. I'm joined via satellite from Titan headquarters by the superstar and Cato. If WWE can have a satellite, we can have a satellite. So I'm joined by Cato and the superstar, and we're doing our Mount Rushmore of guys who never won a world title. So this is in no particular order. Our four best, our goal at the end of this show, to do our four best workers who never won a world title. By world title, I'm talking major world titles, so we're talking WWF, WCW, IWGP, or NWA. For the sake of the argument, we will not consider Ring of Honor a world title. We won't consider TNA a world title. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, all those small indies that are popular, they're not going to count. We're talking WWF, WCW, IWGP, or NWA. So four world titles on a thing here. And I am going to pass off here. We'll start with the superstar. Let's get right into it. There's not a whole lot to kind of introduce here. We're going to, by the end of the show, let's have our four. So superstar, I'll pass it off to you in no particular order. Give us number one on your shortlist.
The easiest pick for me would be Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Mm-hmm.
In a time where WWF was going mainstream on the back of the top babyface Superman Hulk Hogan, you had to have a top supervillain. And Rowdy Roddy Piper was just a badass that held up his end of the bargain and then some. And it's rather... it's rather, oh shit, I'm like a loss for words here. It's insulting.
Yeah.
The WWF has insulted this man by not putting the strap on him. Is this even debatable?
No, it's not debatable. He's on my list. Cato, is he on yours?
No, he's
not.
One of my close ones, though.
Okay, so let me ask you, because here, I agree with the superstar here. It's, to me, I think the only reason that Rowdy Roddy Piper never won a world title is because he was Hulk Hogan's villain, and Hulk Hogan goes over in the end, and it doesn't matter who he's facing, which is why I hate Hulk Hogan and love X-Pac. That's why, if you want to know why I hate Hulk Hogan and I love X-Pac, that's why, because Rowdy
is
Roddy
X-Pac, Piper... Is X-Pac on your list?
No.
Is this foreshadowing for one of your picks?
My list right now is X-Pac, 123 Kid, 6, and Sean Waltman.
And, One Night in China, right?
And Bushwhacker Luke was a close fifth.
Oh, there we go.
No, I agree with you. He's on my list. Cato, you're going to have to justify this here. Why is Rowdy Roddy Piper not on your list?
I mean, in the 80s, he would have been a great pick. He definitely would have been. But I feel like there were some guys in the 90s that actually bumped him down for me.
Okay.
So when I get to my list, yeah, I think it'll kind of make sense.
Okay, so he's not on because you felt that there were better guys from the 90s that just kind of outweighed him.
Right.
Well, right. I mean, if we're doing the Mount Rushmore here, the four presidents on Mount Rushmore are the basic founding fathers or had the most highest influence in the United States. So I would argue Kato. Without Rowdy Roddy Piper helping the WWF go mainstream with a hot feud with Hulk Hogan, there would be no 90s stars. What say you?
My guys are guys that was good in the 80s, but hit their run in the 90s. So they're not irrelevant to the 80s. They just wasn't as big as Piper was in the 80s.
Okay. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to mark Piper down, and I'm going to give him 2 out of 3 votes, because I think he should be on there right now. We'll give him 2 out of 3 votes. So right now, he's on the list. We'll move to Kato. Kato, give me one of those guys that you put on there that you thought was better than Piper and never won the title, and we'll see where we go from here. But as of now, Piper's on with 2 out of 3 votes because he's on my list. I definitely think he should be on there. But we'll move on. Go ahead and give me pick number 1 from Kato's list.
So my number 1 is going to be Dustin Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes. All right. Okay.
He helped carry a company in his own respect in NWA. He had a good feud with Ric Flair on the opposite side of WWE when there was the Piper and Hogan feud.
Dusty was the NWA champ, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Well, they ain't gonna, come on, Kato, so you're dropping the ball, man. You're dropping the ball.
I didn't know the rules before you started. Fair enough. NWA.
Well, let me tell you. So yeah, we're gonna include NWA just because of how big it was in the '70s and the '80s. I know it was essentially irrelevant comes the '90s, but it was the championship in the '70s and eighties. So I am gonna count the NWA World Title. So you have chosen an invalid person, an invalid worker. Your opinion is null and void and irrelevant.
So does that bump up Piper into your Mount Rushmore now?
That does actually put Piper in there because that's who bumped him out pretty much.
All right, so then hold on. So let me get Dusty out of here. We're giving Piper 3 out of 3 votes then. I do want to say, though, it's funny that you got this wrong because I want to tell you, so I was just talking to the professor beforehand, and his intention was to get on tonight, wasn't able to. We'll chalk it up to technical satellite difficulties. But
he's got to pay his internet bill, man.
He's got to pay his internet bill. But he sends me a list. I want to read you the list. He goes, my picks are controversial. I said, okay, well, who are they? He says his picks are Flair, Rock, Austin, and Cena. So he goes because fuck Hogan. So I said, you realize that the rules of this were to choose the wrestlers who never won a world title, and you have literally given me 2 people who have won the most world titles. You've given me literally the exact opposite of what I asked for. I asked for no world titles. You gave me the most world titles. So you're not the worst off here, Kato. You may have screwed up. We're going to give you another chance. But you weren't as bad as him, who listed 2 of the greatest champions of all time, and two men who revolutionized the business. So you're not the worst. We'll keep it so Piper makes 3 out of 3 votes. So that works out perfect then. Our first name on the board, he's pretty much guaranteed unless somebody comes up with something better. But we're all in agreement there. Give me Kato. Give me another one of your picks. Try and actually follow the rules this time, and give me one that never won a world title.
All right, well, I'm gonna go Razor Ramon.
Okay.
For my number, I guess 2.
All right, so Razor Ramon.
Three on Piper.
All right, Razor. I want to see if I had him on my list here. Jay, did you have him on yours?
I did have Razor Ramon on my list, or I do rather.
Yeah, I do as well. I have Scott Hall. I'm gonna use his shoot name. I agree with Razor. I think that one is pretty straight up. Although I will say that it wasn't as easy for me as I thought to put him on there. I think what hurt Razor is that he just everywhere he went, there just was somebody as over as Razor was, there just was somebody that was more over. When he was the WWF guy, you had Shawn Michaels. And then you go over to WCW, and you've got freaking Hulk Hogan running the show. And it just seemed like Razor always played that second fiddle to whoever was there. And he played it well. But...
You know, what I couldn't believe with Scott Hall is in a time with WCW where all you needed was a pulse to be the World Heavyweight Champion, they didn't give him the strap. You know, you had David Arquette and Vince Russo, carrying the belt. You know, but Scott Hall, one of the guys that kind of put your promotion on the map and gave you a shot in the Monday Night Wars.
Yeah.
It's just mind-boggling to me that the WCW didn't reward him with at least a short run.
That's a good point. I didn't think about it like that. I looked at it like, oh, well, there's all these other stars, but it never really. And I mean, he had the issues and the behind the scenes things. But you're right. WCW was the land of the floating world championship. I mean, the belt jumped from guy to guy so frequently. You're right. You would have thought that eventually it would have accidentally landed on his waist.
Yeah, especially with Hogan have so much influence on who gets the belt. Surprised it didn't pass around to Scott Hall one time.
Yeah, I mean, at least once. He really, I think of all the people on my list, at least, of all the people on mine, he's the one that I can't really figure out why he was never a world champ. Because at least Piper, well, yeah, when you feud with Hogan, you're gonna lose. You know, when you're the supervillain and your purpose is to make Hogan look good, you're gonna lose. But Razor, I mean, Razor was a babyface, Razor was a heel, Razor was a tag team guy, and it just, you know, Razor was in the NWO, and it just never happened for him. He's the one that's the most confusing as to why it never happened for him, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he had plenty of gold around his neck, though, in WWF, right?
Yeah. All right, so let me see. I'll move on to one of my picks, and I know that this is going to be a pick that, at least I think, is going to cause a little bit of debate here. I'm going to say, I'm going to go with the enforcer, Arn Anderson.
That was actually on my list, too.
Was he on your list?
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt...
It was a little hard to justify because he's such a tag team specialist, but, I mean, he could do everything. He could talk, he could wrestle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing Arn can do.
Yeah, and I think that's what it was for me, is that this guy, if he wasn't in the Horsemen, he'd have been a world champion, because I felt like the Horsemen existed... I mean, the Horsemen, led by Ric Flair... It existed solely to make sure Ric Flair remained the champion. I mean, that was essentially its purpose, you know. But yeah, I mean, and really, any one of those guys from the Horsemen could be on the list. But to me, Arn was just the guy who, I mean, just smooth and good in the ring and could talk with the best of them. I mean, he was every bit as good on the mic as Flair. He just could do all the things that a world champion would have needed to do. You know, so I put him on there because I felt like it's a Mount Rushmore of the best guys who were never champions, not necessarily the biggest stars who were never champions. And I felt like there was that Arn had all the tools to be the champ, to be a world champ, and just his circumstances being in the Horsemen kind of led to him not really ever getting there. So he wasn't... I left off some major stars off this list in favor of Arn Anderson, and that's why.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't help that he looks like a high school woodshop teacher.
I feel like Arn, he probably could have pulled off... If you had put him in those... You remember those old football coach shorts that, like, every football coach in the 70s and 80s wore?
Yeah.
I felt like...
You mean the ones that were, like, a little too short?
A little too short, yeah. So they had the button that came all the way up to your belly button, and then the shorts stopped at, like, mid-thigh, and they were usually, like, yellow. Very rarely were they a neutral color. They were always like a bright. I feel like if you put Arn in a pair of those with like a t-shirt that said like Memorial High School and shin high, calf high socks, he could have pulled off, he could have legitimately pulled off a gym teacher gimmick, and I feel like he probably would have been good enough to get it over, which is why he's on my list.
I mean, he's definitely could have been on the Wonder Years at any point in his life. Despite how he looks, he could wrestle his ass off.
He could wrestle his ass off. I think that was the biggest thing is he didn't look like a star. And that's, you know, and there's no denying that he didn't look like a star. Like, as good as he was and as much as I think he had all the tools to be a world champ, it's still difficult to picture him with the belt around his waist. So it was one of the tougher picks for me to put on there, but I felt like, you know what, in the spirit of what we're trying to do, he kind of fits the bill, for me at least. Jay, was he on your list? And if he wasn't, why not?
He was not on my list simply for the fact that, A, he doesn't look like a champion, and B, to be honest, I'm not much of a WCW or NWA mark, so okay. Aside from, you know, knowing the surface of who Arn Anderson is and seeing a couple matches, I didn't consistently watch him growing up. But yeah, I mean, I didn't even think of him, to be honest with you. And, you know, I know a lot of WCW guys. Like, I wasn't naive to WCW back in the 90s and 2000s, and to me, he was just a guy. Mm-hmm. You know, there was always Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Hollywood Hogan, Sting.
Yeah.
Arn, to me, was just a guy.
That's fair. That's fair. I think there definitely is something to be said about guys who weren't big in the WWF. You know, there's definitely something to be said about that exposure factor and what you said about looking like a champion. If you don't look like a champion, it's kind of hard to be one, you know?
Yeah, it goes back to what we talked about last week.
Exactly.
I think Anderson's a perfect example. I mean, yeah, great on the mic, good worker, just doesn't have the look.
That's fair.
I mean, I could name 100 guys with those same qualities, and they're not on my Mount Rushmore, not even close to it.
That's fair. But, all right, so we'll move on to, let's see, Superstar. Jay, we're back to you. We've got three names already up. Two out of those three are unanimous, 3 out of 3 votes. Arn got 2 out of 3. Let's hear number 4 from you.
So I have 2 guys left on my list. One, I'm pretty confident that you both have on yours, so I'm going to go with the guy who I think may not be on both of your lists, and that man is Owen Hart, the Black Heart.
All right.
This guy oozed charisma, great on the mic, arguably just as good of a worker as Brett, who was one of the top workers, if not the top worker, back in their time. I mean, let's face it, this guy made the Slammy Awards relevant. That basically became a title. And if you can turn the Slammies into a prestigious title, throw the strap on him and see what he can do. I mean, it just seemed to me back then, the way they were booked, Owen was just a really good worker that Brett could just out-wrestle, at least the way they booked the matches. And even if his career wasn't cut short by the fall, the booking in 97-98 doesn't even indicate to me at all that they had any plans for giving him the title.
Yeah, no, and I agree. I'll start off by saying that he's not on my list, but it would. He arguably should be. When I read my last name, he arguably should be on my list. But I agree. He didn't stand a chance of winning the title in an era that was in an era with The Rock, Austin, Shawn Michaels, Triple H coming into his own. He didn't stand a chance of winning the title. And I think, before I'll pass over to Kato here in a minute because I'm pretty sure Owen's probably on his list, and I'm gonna say that he's not on my list, and the reason he's not on my list is because I never felt with Owen. I always felt like Owen was a great in-ring worker. He was entertaining. I hated him when he was a bad guy. I thought he was annoying. 11-year-old me hated Owen Hart. But I just never really felt like he would have been, like he could have realistically been the champion in the era that he wrestled in. I think if he was going to get a shot, I think I could have seen the belt on him in like 95, 96. Mid to late 95, early 96. In that time when, in 95, when you were kind of in that dead period with the WWF where you had, Bret's got the strap and you got Diesel and HBK and the Undertaker's around, but it's kind of in, you're kind of in transition there. I thought Owen maybe could have took the belt there. But I always saw Owen as that upper mid-card gatekeeper kind of guy who beat all the mid-card guys and feuded with the main guy. I never saw Owen as the main guy. And I never really felt like Owen had the charisma. I mean, you say he oozed charisma. I disagree. I don't think Owen had the guy. I do think you're correct in saying that he made the Slammies relevant, and that's a very valid point. But I don't know. I just never saw him as a champion.
Well, my question would be is why could you easily see Bret as champion? I mean, they both have very similar styles, if not the same style. And when you say you hated Bret Hart as an 11-year-old, Owen Hart.
Right.
I would say that's an indication that he's a great worker because you absolutely hate him, and that's exactly the role he was trying to play.
I think he was. So, I think he was absolutely a great worker. I don't know. I think he was too ugly. I don't know.
Just like Luger, huh?
Better than Luger. He was way better looking than Luger. No, it's funny that it sounds funny, but that is really one of the reasons. I just thought Bret looked more like a champion. I thought Bret, I thought Owen just always kind of looked like Bret's little brother. In hindsight, I love Owen. I didn't feel like, he's on my honorable mention list. He is on my honorable mentions. But I thought that there were, I guess I'll say that I never really knew, like, when it comes to Owen, he was always just kind of Owen Hart, I almost feel like Owen may have been better off not even using the Hart name if he's wrestling in the same place as Bret. I felt like being a Hart, hurt him a little bit because he was in with Bret, and Bret was Bret, and Owen was his little brother Owen, a nugget.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. If his last name wasn't Hart, or he wrestled just under something else the rest of his career, I think he would have a different view on him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like you hear Owen Hart, you're going to automatically compare him to Bret. Yeah. Even though I think he was actually better than Bret on the mic, because,
Bret was pretty terrible. Much
just leaps and bounds better than Bret on the mic.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
In ring, he performed some of the best matches WWE has had, especially in the he was a Intercontinental champion. So,
I'm being hard on Owen.
Being really tough on Owen.
My whole takeaway from this is that you think Arn Anderson is better looking than Owen Hart.
I like older dudes. I like guys that look like they got a little season on them. maybe I'm being a little hard on Owen. He doesn't make my list. But he's arguably in that same light, in the same line as Arn Anderson is, in the sense that he really did have all the tools. I think for me, Owen is leaps and bounds better than Bret on the mic, but I don't think he was necessarily good on the mic. And like we talked about last week, I think to me, being good on the mic is a absolute necessity for a world champion, an absolute necessity. And to me, Owen just didn't really have it. Owen was, better than Bret.
But you're a huge mark for Bret, and that's just because I know you personally.
I'm a huge mark for Bret's in-ring work. I'll be the first one to tell you that Brett's mic work is real dry. At best, it's dry. But I do like Brett as a champion, so maybe I'm talking out my ass.
Yeah, it's funny because Owen feuded with pretty much the same people as Brett. I mean, he had a feud with Sean. He had a feud with Austin.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he feuded with The Rock after The Rock, you know, turned his back on The Nation.
Yeah, I mean, somehow Owen ended up in The Nation.
Right.
Because he was the black heart. Duh.
That makes tons of sense.
I mean, it's obvious.
That's fair. He was the Slammy Award winning Blackheart. But you're right, he did. He really feuded with a lot of the same guys that Brett did. And maybe that hurt him too. Yeah, maybe that hurt him too.
See, WWE just likes to feed their champion everybody. You know, you see it with Hogan. We saw it with Hogan. You saw it with Brett. With HBK. You saw it with Cena most recently. You know.
Definitely.
I think Hart. Owen Hart.
Lesnar.
Right. I think Owen Hart just fell victim to poor timing, like so many of these guys that are on our list.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's going to kind of be the theme here as we move forward on this. Is that it is a lot of these guys are a victim of time. You know, Piper for sure. You know, and circumstance as well. You know, Arn Anderson is saying the same thing. You know, that guy is victim to being in a stable that ran while Flair was, you know, Arn Anderson wrestled while Flair was the champ, and Piper wrestled while Hogan was the champ. And, you know, Razor's the only one so far who doesn't really have that reason as a defense, you know? Well, I want to move on to the next guy, so we'll take a vote here. Jay, Owen's on your list. Kato, is he on your list?
Yeah, he was on my list.
All right, he's not on mine, so that sits him at 2 out of 3 votes, ties him with Arn Anderson here. Kato, take us into your next pick.
Okay, well, my list is actually done, but...
So these were your four?
Yeah, I had Razor, Owen, Arn, and Dusty.
Okay, so you replaced Dusty with Roddy. So look at that. Wow, what are the odds of that? So your list is basically done here. All right, well, give me your first honorable mention here.
It was Mr. Perfect. Owen actually bumped Mr. Perfect off mine.
All right. So you've got Perfect on your short list, your honorable mention. Jay, I'm assuming that Kurt Hennig is the man you were talking about that you thought we'd both have, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought without a shadow of a doubt he was going to be on both your lists.
Yeah, and I gotta tell you, he's not on mine either, although he arguably should be. I left him off specifically for the controversy of it and the discussion on it. But, Kato, I want to hear why you left him off, though.
Just injury, actually. I feel like his stride was in the 90s is when he got his serious injury, and it was like, man, right at your prime, I don't know what you would have been if you would have got the trap on you. So I was like, ah. That's what hurt him for me anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was too. It's the same reason I didn't put Magnum TA on this list. Because you're talking about a guy who just got injured at his prime. So really, his career was kind of over before he really got to that point. And so I think he was on his way to be a world champ. I think he would have deserved to be a world champ. I think he would have been a great world champ. I thought the character was good, the in-ring was there, the mic work was there. But when you get hurt and you miss that big a chunk of time right in the prime of your career, to me, well, that's why you weren't a world champ. It's almost like, well, this guy was really, really awesome for 2 years and then retired. You know, well, that's why you weren't a world champ. That's kind of what did it for me. I will say this, while he's not on my list and he's not on Kato's list, he's only going to get 1 out of 3 votes here, so he's not going to make the Mount Rushmore. I will say that if everybody on this list, everybody that I have kind of, Mr. Perfect by far had the most talent and the most potential out of all of them, personally, in my opinion. I think he doesn't make my mountain, but the talent was leaps and bounds was there for him.
Who do you think, had he been healthy, who do you think he would have taken the belt from? Brett?
I think he would have taken it from Brett. Yeah, I do.
So you think he would have pretty much bumped Sean out the picture? That feud would have went on for years. I mean, 92, they've just now fighting over the Intercontinental belt, so it would have to be at least a year or two later.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. I mean, that's a tough one, because we know Vince had a hard-on for Sean.
Right.
And I really...
Literally. I think he did him.
That's alleged. Okay? And it's also filthy. We don't have filth on this podcast. You know, it's a good point. I still think he probably would have taken it off of Brett.
Because they would have had a great Iron Man match also, if you think about it.
They would have had a phenomenal Iron Man. I don't know if it would have been as entertaining as the HBK. Well, I shouldn't even say that. Yeah, I agree. They would have had equally, if not a better Iron Man than Brett and Sean did.
He would have ziplined down from the rafters also, right? Right into the click.
Right into the click. It wouldn't have been as extraordinary. And what's the word I'm looking for? It wouldn't have been as flamboyant. He is flamboyant! It wouldn't have been as flamboyant as Shawn Michaels. But yeah, and I don't think he would have had a Jose Lothario come down and point to the rafters. You know? or point to the heavens, I believe, as Vince said. He's pointing to the heavens.
Yes, that is the actual quote.
Yeah, he's pointing to the heavens.
100 feet in the air.
I love the way he said it. First of all, I feel like it was definitely more than 100 feet. 100 feet in the air, that's like the distance from home to first base. Like, when you think about it. 100 feet's not that high.
Definitely.
I feel like the rafters of that arena are definitely higher than 100 feet, but what do I know? I think Hennig probably would have taken it off of Brett. But if not Brett, then maybe HBK at some point. Either one of those feuds would have been great. Either one would have been great. All right, so he's at 1 out of 3 votes. We can always change votes later if we need to. I'm gonna go ahead and I'm going to change my last pick here because I just don't have the heart to leave this guy off. I had him in my honorable mention, but I'm going to change it, and I will come back to the guy that I had.
Well, who are you taking off first? Let's hear that.
All right, so my initial pick here, and it would be my last one that's different here from anybody else's, would be William Regal.
Wow.
So I'm gonna take William Regal off, and we'll get into William Regal, because I think that initially he's a come on, no way kind of pick. But I think that he's far better than people give him credit for. But we'll get into him. Let's get into who I'm replacing him with, and that would be Jake the Snake Roberts. So I'm putting Jake Roberts on. I know he's not on either one of your lists, correct?
Nope.
Right.
So he's not.
He was an honorable mention for me. He was at a tie for my fifth spot.
Okay, I like Jake, and again, I am torn about taking Regal off, but I'm going to put Jake on because I feel like Jake, there was just something, there was something scary about him. There was something, his promos, he was, to me, he was that first guy who really, he moved past the my promo is powerful and intense because I'm yelling. He moved past that. All his promos were quiet, and they were calculated and well thought out, and he sounded like a snake when he was talking, you know? And he just sounded like he was scary. There was, you know, it sounded like he meant every word, and he was smarter. Jake was always the smartest guy in the room, you know? And I loved that about him. What I really think is amazing about Jake and I think it's relevant, and one of the reasons that I'm opting to put him over William Regal is that not only did Jake not win any world titles, Jake never won any title in the WWF. And I'd have to look to see about the WCW. I didn't really do enough research on him. I am ill-prepared for this. But the fact that Jake never won any title in the WWF, to me, puts him on there. Not only was it not even a world title, it was nothing for Jake. And the only thing I can think of is that his character just never really needed a title.
And do you think he was a draw?
I do think Jake was a draw, yeah. I mean, I don't have numbers to back that up, obviously. Was Jake the draw or was the Snake the draw? I don't know, but they're one and the same, really. You know?
Yeah. I mean, he had the gimmick that would get over with the kids, but he was entertaining enough with the adults, you know? He found that perfect balance.
Yeah.
And that's what kept him there so long.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a wrestling buddy made of him, so WWF had to have felt that he could move product. I mean, if you think about – what were the characters? It was Hogan, Macho Man,
the Warrior,
DiBiase, Jake the Snake, which is the one that I did have, and Big Warrior. Boss Man.
Was it Warrior?
And Warrior.
Yeah, Ultimate Warrior.
Yes,
was
the yes,
and I had Warrior.
I believe that was it.
So DiBiase never held the title. To my best knowledge, Boss Man never held the title, and Jake never held the title. But would you argue that those other two guys were top draws? I mean, if you think they're putting out that kind of merch, that they had to have thought something about these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jake was drawing. I think whether it was Jake, whether it was the Snake, whether it was the DDT, whatever it was, something was drawing. I just think the WWF looked at him as somebody who never needed a title. He was a draw on his own, almost in the same light as Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt's not a bad analogy, but it's not the best one. I think certainly he was a draw, definitely.
I think he was like the first cool badass of that early 90s kind of era. I mean, I stated earlier that Hot Rod was the first badass, but I think Jake is up there with Hot Rod in terms of playing that character superbly. And Hot Rod was one of those screaming and yellers, screaming yellers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hot Rod was your coked up screamer and yeller. He was just entertaining.
Yeah. So he was a loud badass, where Jake was more of the cool badass.
Yeah. Jake was just, I felt like Jake, somehow, Jake was a snake. It wasn't just a name, Jake the Snake. He was like a snake. It just was, somehow you believed that Jake was a snake. I don't know if it was the way he looked or the way he talked. He had that feeling. I think he killed that gimmick. I think he nailed it right on the head.
So who's a better snake, Jake Roberts or Randy Orton?
Oh, Jake Roberts.
But Randy Orton actually slithers around.
Yeah, but Jake looked like he was slithering even when he was just walking. And he had a bag with a big giant snake in it. I mean, that helps. When you can throw a literal snake into the ring, that helps solidify you as the better of the two snakes. Randy Orton, honestly, not to get too far off topic here, but Orton doesn't strike me as like a snake. He just strikes me as like a schizophrenic. Like, this guy's a little bit of a psycho.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they call him the Viper.
That's true. Well, they call Owen Hart the Rocket. Is he a rocket?
I guess Jake Roberts isn't a snake then.
He's a nugget. Owen's a nugget, not a rocket. That would be my argument for Jake. He's not going to make it up here, but that would be my argument for putting him in there over Regal.
No, I agree.
And
that's why he was in my fifth spot.
Okay. Kato, did he crack your honorable mentions at all?
No, my honorable mention was...
Yeah, give me an honorable mention here.
I had Honky Tonk Man, Rick Rude, and Bulldog.
Honky Tonk Man, I think you're crazy. I don't like that pick at all.
I mean, he held the Intercontinental title for so long. He entertained everyone while doing it. Why couldn't he be pushed into the forefront? He was tall as shit, too. Like 6'5". He was a giant.
I don't know if I lost respect. Honky Tonk a giant.
I lost.
I mean, he fit the Vince McMahon mode without the muscles.
Fair enough.
I lost respect for Honky Tonk Man. I was at Comic-Con about 3 years ago, and I was circling the convention center, and every time I passed this guy's booth, he was begging me to take a picture with him where I would have to pay him $20. And I was wearing a Macho Man shirt, and he had one of those microphones. What are those things called? That you the Mouth from the South had it. What are those?
Like a megaphone.
Yeah, exactly. So every time I walk by, he would say, "Hey, Macho Man," you know, and just start heckling me. He's like, "You know, you want a picture. You know, you want a picture." It was just, dude, I'm like, "I'm done with this guy."
That might be the saddest thing I've heard all week.
Oh no.
That might be the saddest thing I've heard all week. Like,
I think after my fourth lap, he said, "All right, I'll do it for you for 10.
You know why? It's because he thought you were considering it. That's why he thought you were working up the courage to come over and say hello. Because he thought maybe he thought you were just starstruck and you were in awe of his star power.
Yeah. And he was haggling me.
that's a sound negotiation tactic, though. Just ignore the man until he comes down in price.
Yeah, I mean, I'll do it for free.
I'll take a picture for nothing. Yeah, I mean, I'll take a selfie if you want, but I'm not going to put it on Facebook.
I mean, if I kept walking around, I'm pretty sure I could have haggled him down, or he could have haggled himself down to under $5. Like, you know, hey, just buy me a hot dog. You know, I'm starving here.
Give me a hot dog with relish, and we'll call it even. I'll give you a picture. That's funny. That might be the saddest thing that I've heard all week, no doubt about it. So Honky Tonk Man, we're not even going to put him on the possibilities here. Because, you know, if you're going to be on Mount Rushmore, people got to want to take a picture with you. Jay, do you have any honorable mentions that are still left that haven't been mentioned?
Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
Yeah. That's...
I think he could have had a short run. A transitional champion, one that you said is very important, who can speak on the mic. He's a top heel. He really got the crowds revved up. Playing the millionaire character.
Mm-hmm.
He had a pretty cool finisher, the Million Dollar Dream. You know, I think it would have been very controversial if he put a babyface champion out with the Million Dollar Dream and then bragged about it, or even a dirty finish with his faction. But I just think he's done so much for the company in terms of working in the 80s, in the ring, and then even promotional through the 90s. He was the host of every Coliseum home video I had, and I just couldn't believe that this guy was never champion, because he's so relevant in the WWF history.
So, yeah, I mean, I've got to agree with the Ted DiBiase thing. He was a close one for me. I actually had him in twice. I had him in the top four. And I pulled him out both times to put somebody else in there. So what I want to do, I want to go without much conversation on the guys. I want to go through just a few of my other honorable mentions real quick. We'll close this down. We'll close it out. We'll get our Mount Rushmore together. And that'll be it. I had William Regal. I had Ken Shamrock. He was a late honorable mention. So I had Ken Shamrock, and I had – who else did I have in here? I had Ken Shamrock. I had Raven. I thought Raven – had Raven been – had WCW lasted, Raven might have been – the guy had all the talent on the mic. He really had a good gimmick. I kind of liked him. He doesn't beat out Piper, Razor, Owen, Hennig. He doesn't beat those guys, but he's – you know, he's on there to me, as far as I'm concerned. So that would have been my last honorable mention. Did you, before we close it out, did you have any honorable mentions that weren't mentioned?
My last guy that I was considering, who the fuck was my last guy? Let's just go with a no.
Okay, so no, you don't have a last guy. So it basically is pretty easy here. We got Roddy Piper, 3 out of 3 votes, he's in. Razor Ramon, 3 out of 3 votes, he's in. Arn Anderson, 2 out of 3 votes, he makes it in. And Owen Hart, 2 out of 3 votes, he makes it in.
My last honorable mention was Bulldog.
Bulldog. Kato had him. Oh, well, yeah, Kato had him as an honorable mention as well. So yeah, Bulldog would have been a good one. For me, he just was always more of a tag team guy. I just always saw him more as a tag team specialist with the Bulldogs. And then when he was done with that, he was in the Hart Foundation. So Bulldog, to me, I don't know that Bulldog ever really had a defined singles run. I know he was an Intercontinental champ. I know he was a European champ. But I just kind of felt like he was always with somebody. I don't know that I could have seen Bulldog carrying a company.
Yeah, I mean, and he was fed to HBK.
Well, that's true, yeah. As was pretty much everybody.
Right.
So, all right, so that's going to do it then. We've got our Mount Rushmore. It is Roddy Piper, Razor Ramon, Arn Anderson, and Owen Hart. I'm pretty happy with that. You know, the funny thing is Arn Anderson, I know he got 2 out of 3 votes, and I know I was one of those votes. He's one that I just, if I had to pull somebody, it'd probably be Arn Anderson. And I could see an argument for Jake Roberts. I could see an argument for Kurt Hennig. I could see an argument for Ted DiBiase. But in this case, it's Roddy Piper, it's Razor Ramon, it's Arn Anderson, and it is the Black Heart, the greatest member of the Nation of Domination ever, Owen Hart. So that's going to do it for tonight's episode, folks. I want to thank you for listening and for giving us an opportunity to come into your homes for the last 40 minutes and entertain you. Our biggest goal here at Book It Better is to be entertaining first and foremost. So if you tuned in tonight and you enjoyed what you heard, give us a follow, leave a comment, and let us know what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. Join us right back here next Wednesday as we sit down once again and draft ourselves a roster of 20 stars to fill out a WrestleMania card. We'll be picking 5 workers from the 80s, 5 from the 90s, 5 from the 2000s, and 5 from the 2010s. So don't miss it, and don't forget to head over to YouTube and check us out there as we rebook the World Wrestling Federation in 1994. Until next time, my name is Max Whitman, and thank you for listening to Book It Better.